Welcome to the CRA Resource Show. CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. My name is Becky Clark, and I'm Operations Manager at CRA Resources. Today, we are sitting down with Angela Roberts, Head of Recruiting, and special guest, Michonne Guy. Michonne has been a senior clinical research consultant since 2000 and has worked with us on many contracts over the last few years. So before we get started, make sure to visit creresources.com/blog to catch up on our latest blog posts. You can also sign up there to get this content delivered to your inbox. So I'll turn it over to Angela and she can give us more detail on our topic today.
Well, I actually have notes today because this is a hot topic, and I really appreciate Michonne for talking to us about it. But what I want to talk about today is what I'm calling unintentional discrimination, and it's a side effect from the candidate fraudulence that we're experiencing in this industry. And I'm calling it unintentional discrimination because basically that's what happens whenever hiring managers, due to biases and just typical stereotypes or whatever, they decide to just in a broad brush way to just rule out complete groups of people. And whenever it comes to candidate fraudulence, there's no doubt it's real. It's a problem. It's a big problem. Yes. And I can give you stats to show it. But what I want to do is reinforce the fact that companies need to have processes in place to identify the fraudulence rather than unintentionally or intentionally discriminating against pools of people because of their backgrounds or, you know, that type of thing.
Sounds good. And there is a lot of fraudulent activity out there, and there has been, particularly since 2020. So
yeah. COVID changed the face of things, didn't it?
COVID changed the face of clinical research extraordinarily. I mean, mm-hmm. it changed the world in many regards, but specifically as it relates to our industry, it changed the opportunity, not only for people like me who've been around since, you know, for eons, since the dinosaurs, but it changed the face of our ability to recommend and trust one another. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say that is because not only has this fraud been perpetrated, if you will, by people who are had no industry experience, but it's also been perpetrated by some of the people who had good names in the industry and who saw an opportunity to make money. This isn't unique to our industry. Many of the physicians and the hospitals and the city and county governments were engaging in fraud because there was money involved in it. And mm-hmm. so I think the idea of the discrimination that came about unintentionally, if you will, I even hesitate to use the word discrimination because discrimination is generally has a concept of being intentional. But in this case, it is unintentional discrimination. Mm-hmm. And it may be because there's a team of people who all have names from a certain country, whether it's Russia, yep. whether it's Africa, whether it's, you know, whatever country it happens to mm-hmm. be, and it looks suspicious, so they completely disavow the candidacy of that group of people. I've seen it happen. So my idea or my position is simply do the homework on the individual. There has to be references. There have to be people who know of an individual's involvement in this industry and the work that they've done. No one that I know of has a perfect CV. No one I know of has never had a run-in or a disagreement with his or her manager. No one I know of has never made a mistake while doing EDC or writing a report that got rejected. So
sure.
If we keep those sorts of things in mind, the things that really matter as opposed to having been biased so much by COVID, I think we'll all be better off.
I couldn't agree more. I think the interesting thing that I see that a lot of companies don't see, and of course, you know, we only place CRAs. Can we get hundreds of applicants a week? And right now we're looking at about easily brand new applicants that are coming through. Easily 60% of those have falsified all or part of their credentials. But there's as many Betty Whites in there as there are people from the other countries that have suspicions. And I understand why hiring entities are frightened, because I personally spoke with several of them who have made some really bad hires, you know, because of the fraudulence. Yes. But that doesn't mean that you rule out groups of people. That means you got to put a better process in place. Don't
Indeed.
You?
Indeed, mm-hmm. That's exactly what it means. The process has to be a good process. Unfortunately, during COVID, the processes were sort of cast away out of urgency. We needed monitors. The same thing happened, if you'll remember, during the bird flu, which turned out not to be epidemic, as it were, mm-hmm. but also during the whole SARS thing. There are a number of situations, a number of ailments over the years where we just rushed to get in, we rushed to get the vaccine approved, mm-hmm. we rushed to get injections into people. And sometimes it was not in our best interest to have done so. I think the COVID epidemic, however, was consummate of all of those other things that I mentioned together. It was the worst of all. And I myself, even long prior to COVID, have hired people to work for my firm who I found out ultimately were fraudulent. They stole
or took
from
advantage.
Me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they took advantage. They went to mm-hmm. New York on a credit card that my company provided for them. I see their husband's names, at the spa, things like that. I mean, it's been going on forever. The problem is, it was unbelievable. And it was a person who I would never mention, but who I would never have suspected of this.
Right.
Such a nice lady. She was making 40 grand a year as a nurse. And as an SC, and I told her within 2 years, I'll have you making 150 grand. All right. But you have to work hard and you have to be available. All kinds of things. So I think that this
can
whole
I work
idea,
for you? Would you like mail me your credit card today?
Well, that was then. And she did. I you wouldn't even believe it. I'll have to share with you sometime offline, off the cast, what happened. But it was a
That's
disaster.
Awful,
and she wasn't the only one. One in California, a guy who was some sort of a sub to a dominant male. One lady in South Carolina who was a nurse, very credentialed. I went away to Australia for a vacation and came back. I hadn't been getting deposited from my client. It was a company like CRA. And I called and asked, and I got back, and they said, oh, well, she told us you weren't paying her, Michonne. And so we ended up just paying her directly.
Oh my gosh.
Disaster.
Holy cow.
Cost me over $50,000. I couldn't litigate because I would have had to bring my client into it.
Right.
All right?
That's awful.
So,
well, shame on the
like
client for, well, anyway,
yes.
That's a different
yes.
discussion, but that's
so that,
really horrific.
Another different discussion. I apologize.
Yeah.
I'm getting
No, we have all
fraud.
Kinds of topics we're going to talk to you about, Michonne. Here's the thing about COVID, though, I think, is that, and I agree with you, COVID caused all the trains to stop on the tracks.
It did.
And I think the reason why it did is because no one knew how to handle it. No one knew if they should handle it. No one knew how long of a situation it was going to be.
Yes.
So rather
yes.
than address it, everybody put their head in the saying and they just dealt with it, or just waited. And,
yes.
Waiting is such a trap, isn't it? And what happened then is the individuals that were taking advantage from a fraudulent perspective, that's when the fake interviewing started. That's when the interviewers for hire started. That's when instead of talking
that's
to
true.
Michonne, I'm talking to Betty White or,
yep.
vice versa.
Yes.
And it's really not
I
the person
it.
That shows up to work. The person I interviewed is not the one showing up to work. And because no one was allowed to travel for so long.
Right.
It was all.
There were
I
no
mean,
checks and balances.
Yeah.
There were no checks and balances. I know people who even tried on occasion to buy to get Uber, for example. We weren't really going to sites, but local sites occasionally there
yeah.
was
yeah.
occasional travel to. But they would fake the Uber receipt, things like that. I mean, it was insane what went on during that time.
I absolutely agree.
And I hope
yeah.
we never see it again. But. Many of the people, as I said, who had as much experience or nearly as much experience as me did the same thing. And there are always opportunists out there. I know we all agree to that. There are always opportunists.
Yep.
COVID, nobody wanted to wait too long to hire the best people. So they went out there and they asked for the best people. But nobody wanted to end up without any monitors that could work mm-hmm. for all of these different compounds that we were looking at, not to mention those patients that were in hospital and things of that sort being treated as well. So it was a nightmare. COVID was the worst part, both of my professional and my personal life, because of all of the bad flavors that I got, all of the bad things I saw come from my fellow man and people from whom I didn't expect it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's crazy is that there can be bad eggs and bad apples from any group of people, any country, any culture. I mean, there are folks with good ethics and bad ethics all around across the board. And so
yes.
I want to talk about getting us back to how hiring managers can improve their processes to make sure that the good ones, the ones with good ethics, the good eggs that have the good experience, how do we make sure they don't get filtered out accidentally? What are the tips we have?
I think one tip from me would be to contact people like me, if you will, people who know people in this industry who have been doing what I've been doing, who I've worked with, and who I did not see take advantage or fraudulently engage in a contract with a client. So I would say start with that. Start with a manager. Start with an Angela or a Becky who know people like me for years and years, who they can say, Michonne, we have a very special client. We're looking for this five individuals. We need them to be logistically located 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 around the country. Is there anybody that you know? And please just give us the best of the best, the most reliant people who you find the most professional over the course of your career, because we cannot afford to disappoint this client. That would be my first tip.
I would agree. And let me pause you before you go to the next one, because I see this a lot. Companies hire recruiting agencies or staffing agencies that don't know anything about this industry.
That's
true. You got IT companies that are advertising for CRA positions, and I'm not going to go on record to defame other companies, but I am going to tell you, and I am going to go on record for this. This is a unique industry, and especially in the CRA role, your network is gold.
It is.
And that's the point you were just trying to make. And I just want to make it a lot more directly. Don't hire Tom Selleck Staffing Company LLC that does soup to nuts stuff. If you care about getting good quality CRAs, hire a company that's reputed of being a company within this industry that knows what a CRA does, by the way,
yes,
and can honestly vet out their competency, because I think that's critically important. And a lot of sponsors lean on CROs, and then CROs are leaning on the Tom Selleck LLCs of the universe. I mean, you got to know where your CRAs are coming from. And if sponsors that are listening don't know where their CROs are getting it, ask them.
And what's the process?
How do you know? What relationship do you have with this person? Ask them. How would you rate? Do you have any experience relative to this person's performance, relative to this person's timeliness, relevant to his ability to meet deadlines or whatever the timelines, if you will. Mm-hmm. But the second point that I would just make is don't necessarily hire the guy who's going to take the job cheapest. And that's something that I've seen. And I really have an issue with this with CROs. Most of the ones that deal with me, and I'll be quick here because I know we have limited time. Most of the ones that deal with me know what my minimum rate is. I tell everybody, I've been around for a long time. I remember when I was making $42.50 an hour. It was my first job with a company out of Tampa. And that was a long time ago. But I also had situations where I was making $150 an hour because they needed someone with specific experience to go to Mayo, to go to Anderson, to go to Sloan Kettering. And it was nightmarish. It'd take 3 days and I still couldn't finish one subject. Long story short, you cannot necessarily hire the cheapest guy, because that guy may not care to do anything for you, but he's still getting that $40 an hour that you're at. Oh, you go back to your bosses and say, oh, hey, we're only paying this much an hour for this guy. We're going to make a lot of money from this. But you end up losing money because you end up getting reverse invoiced for tasks that person never performed. So those are the two top things that I would
do. They didn't
look for the best candidate, not the most expensive necessarily, but not the cheapest, definitely. Because you often get what you pay for, and we all know that to be true.
I go to market that way. When companies ask me about rate, I tell them, I never advertise that I'm the cheapest, but I will tell you we will focus on quality. Now, I'm not the most expensive either, but you do need to work with a company that understands the market and understands what the rates are. And we've turned clients down. They want to pay, X percentage below market rate. We just don't, because I'm not going to give them and they'll say, well, just give me someone that's less qualified. Yeah, see, we just don't do that. We only work with individuals that are qualified, because it's our brand. brand, and you need to pay. This is your core business. You're not going to get this product through if it doesn't navigate the clinical trials process properly, and the monitoring aspect of it is a key component. It's core business. So let's go get you some really great CRAs that can go do your core business and get you your product approved so you can sell it on the shelf. Yes. You know, it's kind
of, you know, it will save you money in the long run. A lot of them don't think so. A lot of them are thinking short term, and that's a big mistake as it relates to this sort of stuff. If you're trying to go to market, you have a phase 3 trial, you want to get that product and you want to get those timelines done, you want to get the reviews done, you want to do the statistical analysis with the statisticians, and you want to get the FDA in there, and you go out there and hire the guy who's going to work for $40 an hour, you're going to have some surprises, and they will not be helpful to your timeline of getting to market.
One of the top findings of FDA audits is lack of monitoring oversight. Mm-hmm. It's really important. Really, really important. Now, let me ask you this. What advice would you give to CRAs that are being mistaken as fraudulent? Or maybe I should put it this way. What are some things that you would tell them not to do in the way they represent themselves that could make them look fraudulent when they might not necessarily be so?
Well, this is something that you might disagree with, but I'm going to tell you something that catches my eye immediately when I look at a CRA. If someone asks me to review a CV for perhaps someone who's going to join me, say even on my current project, and I see things that are political in nature in the information that they're sharing. Those sorts of things, I think, are problematic. I think they give an impression of an attitude that all of these things that you're engaged in, whatever they may be, are secondary to your employment. But don't put things down that you have no experience in. If they're looking for someone who has experience in ocular surgery, and you don't have it, just say, I don't have it. I've worked in the most difficult types of studies, everything from glioblastoma to constipation, literally. I mean, there's that big of a range in the things that I've done. So the suggestion that I might not be able to come on board, if you're willing to teach, if you have the people who have the ability to teach the subject matter, I'm good to go. But I understand if you need a specialist, because this is an industry without much history.
Yeah.
And someone like me might not be the most appropriate. So that's what I would suggest to a person. Don't put all of these vague, innocuous titles and things that have just come up recently, whether it's BLM, whether it's DEI, whether it's wokeness, that's just not a good idea from my perspective.
And there is a time and a place for all of that. I mean, your personal beliefs are your personal beliefs, but whenever it comes to, and I'm just getting ready to publish a roundtable with the team where we talk a little bit about digital footprint versus your branding and how it's very important to manage your digital footprint, because ideally it should be a subset of your personal brand. But when you participate in these other, like you said, political components or whatever.
Yes.
Hey, if that's what you believe in, then that's what you believe in. But there's a place for that. And I think whenever you're trying to brand yourself as a clinical research professional, being able to be single themed in your representation is important. I just had an invite from someone, and she's an influencer in our industry. She spent most of her time in the last several years as public speaking within the Black Women in Clinical Research, remember what the acronym is.
I've seen them on LinkedIn. Yes.
I participate in a lot of the webinars and I, you know, all of that type of thing. But her entire profile was all about that. Now, my focus is clinical research professionals, and I only accept invites from individuals who are clinical research professionals. And when you're looking at that profile, while I absolutely believe in her mission, I also don't accept connect requests from Biden or Trump or anybody else either, right? I mean, I got to stay focused myself. And I do believe that focus is important, especially when it comes to personal branding. And if you're wanting to really knock someone's socks off, to your point, you're never going to be perfect. Well, nobody wants you to represent a perfect profile.
No.
Somebody wants to know who Michonne is. So let's talk Indeed. About Michonne, right? Indeed. And let's make sure that Michonne's profile represents Michonne and the fact that you've worked glioblastoma all the way to constipation and everything in between. That's what needs to be on your profile. And I think that's what's critically important. Profiles that are too perfect for me, we put those in the not now category. Because no one's perfect. And I want to know that you've self-assessed, and I want to know where your flaws are and that you've assessed those and you're now a better professional because of those. I want to know what your story is.
Yeah.
Well, and there's some not so great stories, and one of which is I'm not for the nonsense anymore. If I get to a situation where the client is unhappy or I'm not doing enough visits and I'm doing 7 or 8 a month on site, okay, I understand. I'll submit my resignation effective 2 weeks from now, and I'll move on to the next client. You have to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest with your clients. And the fact of the matter is, there's only so much you can do and have a life. My family comes first. I make sure everybody knows that there's never any doubt. And if it comes down to my son, Royce, or to a visit that I was supposed to do and he's in the hospital, you can forget it. You're going to have to find somebody else. And I think it's fair to say that up front and be honest about it. Although I know people who are so desperate at one stage or another that they would actually sacrifice that being with that child or that spouse or that relative, whatever they happen to be, mother, father, in order to meet the obligation to the client. But the client has obligations too,
where they often have to
put us to the side in order to respond to whether it's the stockholders, whether it's upper management, whatever it happens to be. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that desperation also causes folks to do all kinds of crazy things that makes it look like there's potential fraudulence, like changing titles. We had an example last week or the week before where some other recruiter told this candidate to change the title because it looked better. Lead CRA.
Add lead to your title.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No. Oh, my gosh. Well, she had never been a CRA before. And then bam, all of a sudden she's a lead CRA.
Oh, no.
And so her recruiter told her it was a smart thing to do and make her more competitive. And I said, no, it made you look fraudulent.
Yes, that's exactly right. It will make you look fraudulent from someone who has done the lead thing, because they always ask you stories and it's no fun being a lead. I'm sorry. It's just no fun because everybody professional and personal problems that you've got to deal with. You've got to fill the slots where somebody can't do it. I just explained to you, kid gets sick. She can't make it now. He can't make it because his wife is that. It's a disaster trying to do it, because if you can't find somebody else, then who do you expect to fill in? The lead's got to do it. The lead's got to get in there and make sure that that visit is done, because Dr. Angela is not going to be available for another 9 weeks.
Right. And then we're out of window.
And now we have deviations. Now everybody's upset. Mm-hmm. So long story short, I just think the best policy is honesty and upfront and be forwarded. But I want to say one more thing that I think leads to a lot of fraud here, if I may, and this relates to CROs. I think a lot of CROs and CRA resources, I'm happy to say, is not among them. I could name off half a dozen. But a lot of times they take advantage of a slow market. We are in a slow market right now for multiple reasons, including the fact that fiscal year end is coming up at the end of June. Budgets haven't been approved. And if they have been approved, they haven't been dispersed to the management team about what they're going to work on and what they're going to hire. But going in, when you hear of somebody and this person has a situation that you get wind of, that they can't make their house payment or they can't make the car payment or they're in a bind with the IRS or whatever it happens to be, and taking advantage and underbidding or under offering, for lack of a better term, that's not a proper way to say it, but lowballing this individual,
I'll put it that way,
because you know they're in a desperate situation, is a terrible thing. I remember people calling me after the Great Recession, 2008, 2009, calling me with these outrageous, ridiculous, well, we're only paying half time for travel. Well, we don't pay time for you sitting in the airport an hour before your flight. Well, we're not, that's wrong. It's not fraud, but it's taking advantage of an individual who's trying to make that car payment or trying to make that house payment.
I agree.
Don't call me. And I told them, why are you calling me with an offer of $48 an hour? Why did you ring? What made you think that? Mm-hmm. And I know what it was. They thought that maybe I was one of those who was in that sort of a situation. So
I absolutely agree. 2008, that was rampant. You know,
disastrous.
And it is, I think it does lack ethics, and a lot of our competitors were doing it. Our markup, and I go to market this way, we tell our candidates this and we tell our clients this, our markup is a flat markup. Yes. I am not going to negotiate a poor qualified CRA who's desperate down on his rate just so I can make a bigger market or a bigger margin. I like to sleep at night. And the reality is, Michonne, you're the one doing the work. You need to get the lion's share of the pay. I did was introduce
only,
you, right?
That's only reasonable. That's only fair, you know? So as I said, I'm happy to say CRA Resources is not among the people that I'm talking about, but they're out there.
They are. They definitely are.
And so although we have fraudulent activities on the part of the employees, that is the contractors like me, we have some pretty despicable behavior on the part of the hiring or the intermediaries to the hirer out there as well. So,
well, in some ways, that's an unintentional discrimination too, because now you're taking a pocket of those individuals who are down on their luck, and you're really taking advantage in a bad way. It's not cool. Yeah.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people that suffered from that. I know a lot of places that I would not work today because I know what they did. You know, people call me all that. No, this is more in line with yours, Michonne. That was because of his blah, blah. I knew what the situation was. So I wouldn't work with anyone like that anymore.
Well, and sponsors, you guys don't need to work with companies that do that either, because they're still going to charge you as much as that you'll let them charge you.
They're
just taking a bigger cut of the margin. And the problem is that the CRA that is desperate, that'll take $45 an hour, when they get offered the $80 or $85 or $90 an hour that's market, they're going to bail. And you're
like
the one
cartoon,
left holding the bag.
That's right. Yeah. They're out, like, you know, they're road running out of there as soon
that's
as it
exactly
happens.
Right.
So then you got to start the hiring process. Again, you think you saved all this money. They stayed for 3 months. Now you got to start this whole thing. You got to train them again. You've got to get out there with them again. They've got to learn the protocol. You got to pay them for a month to get up to speed on whatever EDC you're using, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's just bad business. And I just don't recommend it for anyone. So
I agree.
Yeah. And if you just did the right thing up front, I mean, on both ends, really, this is how we can wrap it up. Both ends, on the candidate end and on the hiring end.
Indeed.
Do the right thing. We can't fix everybody's ethics, but if there's transparency and openness and good ethics all around, then the right people find the right opportunities, the right hiring managers find the right people that they need, and everybody, it's a win-win. So definitely
be fair
and have just a good process for hiring folks that doesn't weed out the good ones. And then make sure that you look like one of the good ones when you are.
I try. I've been doing it for a long time, but I've been rejected too. But I'm not the type to get his feelings hurt when something happens. But there are a lot. I just can't get it. Looked on LinkedIn. And then this will be my last word, Becky. You'll see all these people that have great history in as much as their employment, but they're just struggling to find, and everybody's been calling me from senior
it's
directors
right
down, mm-hmm. from yeah. senior directors all the way down. It's a tough time right now.
It really is.
And
it really does remind me of 2008, because there were companies that were going out of business, they were being acquired, they were merging, and it starts at the top and then goes down, because you have, you know, whenever two companies merge or, you know, a company is acquired, you got multiple VPs and directors and all of these things, and those individuals, unfortunately, their heads roll. And then what do they do? And a lot of times they want to step back into the monitoring gig, and now they're competing against monitors. It's tough market. And I don't want to instill fear. What I want to do is say, be one of the ones that are doing the right thing and are showing your passion for the industry, and align with individuals that will take care of you and that are also doing the right thing. And sponsors, know what your recruiters and CROs are doing. Know what their markup is. Knowing how they're positioning you. Sponsors need to ask their CRO, what's your elevator pitch for me? How are you selling me to your CRAs? And, you know, because what'll happen is for the recruiters that are offering you $45, the sponsor doesn't know that. Right. And so whenever Michonne quits because he gets a better offer, the recruiter's going to make you look bad. Right.
Yeah. And I know that's happened to me. Yeah. I know they've hired somebody who took less rate, who took $20 an hour less than me. And then I know the sponsor tells me on the call, I want you on my team. How soon can you start? And the next thing I know, they've hired somebody who I know in the industry with much less experience, with a great deal less knowledge of the things that I have knowledge of. And I find out the reason, I find out from them, oh, yeah, well, they weren't paying much, so I wouldn't think you would have been interested. Oh, they weren't? What'd you get? Well, I got 65 an hour. I said, oh, okay, well, that's very interesting. And I just let it go. I just move on to the next opportunity. But it happens all the time.
It does.
This has been interesting, and there's a lot more we could talk about as it relates to this fraud thing and all of the things that are connected to the fraud.
Agreed. But, well, we would love to speak with you again, Michonne. We really appreciate you joining us today. And also, Angela, for all of your wisdom as well. Thanks to everybody out there listening. And at CRA Resources, we understand you have many options when it comes to selecting which clinical recruiting company to partner with. Not only do we take pride in working with the highest quality CRAs and site managers, we also only work with quality pharmas, biotechs, medical device companies, and CROs who recognize the importance and value of a CRA's role. So feel free to reach out at CRAresources.com for more information about our firm. We can't wait to work with you.